Well, if you enjoyed all that singing, say amen.
Amen.
If you have your Bible, I want you to turn to the book of Malachi, chapter 3. I'll tell you what, I really don't believe anybody goes to church on Sunday night. Everybody was on the road. Everybody. And by the way, Chester is a long way from here. A long way from here. But we got Jeff all ordained and all that kind of stuff. And we're grateful. Pray for them that God will use them. Malachi chapter number 3, and I want you to look at verses 13 through 15 with me tonight. We're going to try to run to the end of this book in the next few weeks so we can get started in the book of Mark. Would you stand with me? I know you just sat down, but stand again in honor and reverence of the reading of God's Word, Malachi 3, verse 13. The Lord says, "Your words have been stout against me, saith the Lord. Yet you say, what have we spoken so much against thee? You've said it's vain to serve God. And what profit is it that we've kept his ordinance and that we have walked mournfully before the Lord? And now we call the proud happy. Yea, they that work wickedness are set up. Yea, they that tempt God are even delivered." Thank you, and you may be seated. I want to preach tonight on this subject, talking about God. A lady was complaining and voicing her criticism one day, and she said to her pastor, said, "Pastor, there's something about you that offends me." And the pastor said, "Well, what am I doing that offends you? I don't mean to do anything, but what am I doing that offends you?" She said, "It's the way you wear your tie," one of them spiritual things. "It's the way you wear your tie. You wear it way too long." Now, I'm not going to get out to see, so you can see how long or how short mine is, but "you wear it too long." He said, "Well, I'll take care of that." He pulled a pair of scissors out of his desk, gave the scissors to her, and said, "You just cut it off where you think that it ought to be." And so she reached over and cut off 3 inches of his tie. And the pastor said, "Since we're talking about being offended, there's something about you that offends me." And she asked, "What is it?" He said, "It's your tongue. Stick it out." So you got to be careful what you say. In the book of Malachi, there's at least 7 times that the Lord rebukes the people. And they say something like, "Wherein," or "So be it," or "What's going on?" Where God said, "You've done certain things." In 2 places, God talks about their offense by their words. In chapter 2, verse 17, the Bible said they were angering God with their words. They were pushing him to the limits. And then they were assailing God with their words. They were making false accusations against God. In our text, that word "stout" means hard or mean or terrible. They were saying some terrible things about God. And the verb, the indication of the text says, they were not so much spoken to God as they were being spoken about God. And the idea is a group of people sitting around and gossiping. But in this case, they were gossiping against and about God. God knew everything they were saying, knew all about their gossip sessions. And then God begins to confront them about what they are saying. Thomas Edison was once introduced at a dinner. And the man who introduced him spoke about all the many inventions that Thomas Edison had, dwelling at great length about the talking machine. And so the inventor rose to his feet and smiled and said something like this, "I thank this kind gentleman for his wonderful remarks, but I must make a correction. God invented the talking machine. I only invented the first one that can be shut off." A lot to think about. Malachi's words indicate that judgment's about to be cut off. Now, Malachi's day was a lot like our day. Morally, there was no right and there was no wrong. Spiritually, they were very, very indifferent. They were sarcastic and they were very, very critical. It's kind of like the conductor on a train, and they were going down the tracks, and all of a sudden they hit a cow and the car stopped. And a lady there began to ask and said, was it on the tracks? And the conductor said, no. Or he felt like saying, no, we chased that thing all over that field before we got it. You know, sarcastic, critical. We live in that age. Somebody said it's the most skeptical, cynical, hostile, critical crowd we've ever seen. Someone else said we live in the day when the culture knows the price of everything and the value of nothing. So God says in His Word in Malachi, He's about to send judgment. So very quickly tonight, three things I want you to notice. Number one, they talked about God's work that was unfulfilling. Look at verse number 14. That's where we're going to center most of our attention tonight. And they said it was vain to serve God. The word vain means foolish. It means insignificant or fruitless or unprofitable. They were saying God's work brought no personal fulfillment in their lives. First of all, it was a very boastful claim. They said we've been serving God and it's not fulfilling in our life. Nothing could have been further from the truth, because all through the book of Malachi, if you read it, God said, you said what you're doing, but it's obvious that you're not doing it. They talked about serving God, but in essence, they weren't serving God. They talked about loving God, but in essence, they weren't loving God. And they couldn't truthfully say they were serving God. Now, I want to say tonight, God deserves to be served. God desires to be served. And God demands to be served. He wants us to be in the service for Him. So it was a boastful claim. God, we're doing all this service, but you are not fulfilling our innermost need. Second of all, it was a false claim. It's been said that one cannot expect to reap a harvest if they've not put any seed in the ground. Haggai said a long time ago, is the seed still in the barn? They were claiming to serve God and how fulfilling that it was to serve God, and they were not serving God. They hadn't planted any seed, so they could not expect a harvest. And they said there's nothing fulfilling about serving God. Well, I want to tell you that's just not true. There's nothing more fulfilling in life and more eternally satisfying than serving the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Now, if you start serving self, it's not going to be fulfilling. If you serve in the flesh, it's not going to be fulfilling. But we've got to serve in the Spirit of what God's told us. Isaiah 65:14 says, behold, my servants shall sing for joy. And the Bible says in the book of Isaiah chapter 32 and verse 17, and the work of righteousness shall be peace, and the effect of righteousness shall be quietness and assurance forever. Now, I've met a lot of folks that regretted they did not serve God. But to my knowledge, I've never met anybody that regretted that they did serve God. I've never been where somebody was dying and say to me, Pastor, I wish I'd never gotten saved. I wish I'd have never served God. I wish I'd have never given God my best. But I've been at the bedside in the hospital bed of a lot of folks who have said, Pastor, if I had it to do over, if I had to live my life and I could live it over again, I would have given my best to God. I would have done it sooner and I would have given Him my all. There were three women traveling on a train from Kansas City to Chicago. One was a preacher's wife. One was a well-dressed lady of culture and obvious very wealthy. Another was a young girl in a gaudy dress and a filthy mouth. They began to converse as they were riding toward their destination. The young girl said, I'm going to Chicago to spend the weekend with a soldier, and I'm just going to have one great weekend of pleasure. The preacher's wife talked about how happy she was to be a child of God and to be involved in the work of God. The young lady at one point broke in and looked to the very wealthy, cultured lady and said something like this. You know what would make me happy? If I had jewelry like you do and a mink coat and money like you do. To that, the lady replied to the young lady out for pleasure, "You say you'd be the happiest woman in the world. If you had all of my jewelry and my minks and my money, I've got all of those things and much, much more. But instead of being happy, I believe I'm the unhappiest woman in all of the world. And from our conversation through this trip, I found where my trouble lies. The preacher's wife has found the secret of real happiness, and happiness comes from the Lord." I want to tell you, my friend, you can get a little happy and a little joy for a little while over circumstances in life, but real joy. The song you and I learned growing up, if you want joy, real joy, unspeakable joy, let Jesus come into your heart. Your sins He'll wash away. Your night He'll turn to day. Your life He'll make it over brand new. If you want joy, let Jesus come into your heart. Second of all, they not only said God's work was unfulfilling, they said God's will was unrewarding. Look at verse 14 again. He said, "What profit is it that we have kept His ordinance?" What has it profited us? Because we've done what God told us to do. They had a bad attitude toward God's will. They used that word profit. It's kind of like a technical term that was used for a weaver cutting a piece of cloth from its loom. They were saying, we really expected to get a percentage of this. We really expected to get a piece of this. We thought that if we served God, that He would bless us, and God hadn't come through. God hadn't give us our cut yet. Now, I believe God blesses those who serve Him. Amen? But it always doesn't come in the ways that you and I think it ought to come. You tithe, and you get in your car, and something goes wrong. You should say carburetors. They don't have carburetors anymore. They got all that other stuff under the hood now. There's things that happen. You go home and one of the appliances break down. Something comes up with a big expense, and all of a sudden the devil says, "And yeah, you put that money in that plate, and look what God's done for you." Now, I believe God blesses. I believe He says in Malachi, He'll rebuke the devourer. But Fred, we give because God tells us to give. We give to be obedient. We give to be right with God. We don't give just because I say I'm going to give and God's going to bless me. And I want to tell you, after 30 plus years of faithful, regular tithing every week, I want to tell you, God does take care of you. Now, there have been a few times I thought He forgot where I lived. Amen. I thought He forgot my address and my phone number. Because I served Him faithfully, and there were times when it got real, real tight. You know what I mean? Say amen. In fact, there were times when it was worse than tight. But God came through every time. What's your motive in serving God tonight? Oh, do you just do what you do because you think somehow or another God's going to bless you? You come to church, you think because if you just come to church, there's some kind of spiritual rabbit's foot in your pocket that's going to keep trouble away. I want to tell you, it rains on the just and the unjust. And you can be as faithful to God as you can be. In fact, Job was, but everything happened to Job. Oh, they said it's not profited us anything for serving God. They had a wrong assessment of God's will. They said it does not pay to do the will of God. Can I tell you, God's paydays don't all come down here. Oh, you're sending up treasures in heaven, and interest is gaining, and one of these days God will reward you. George W. Truett, that great preacher, said, "To know the will of God is the greatest knowledge. To find the will of God is the greatest discovery. And to do the will of God is the greatest achievement in life." Oh, you may not think it pays off financially or materially or socially, but can I tell you, it pays off spiritually. And it pays off eternally. And 10,000 years, isn't that what the song says? 10,000 years will just be started. When we've been there 10,000 years, bright shining as the sun, we've no less days to sing God's praise than when we first begun. You may not reap it all here, but I want to tell you, one day you'll reap it over there. Oh, there was an elderly couple. They walked into Philadelphia, into this small kind of run-down hotel. looking for a room for the night, and the clerk behind the desk said, "I'm sorry, we don't have any room." They looked a little dejected and started to walk off, but then the clerk said, "You know, I am on the night shift, and I don't need my bed tonight. I tell you what, y'all just stay in my room, and I'll work all night, and when you get up in the morning, I'll come in and take my room, and you can go on your own way." Well, they didn't want to do that. They didn't want to take his room, didn't want to inconvenience him, but the clerk convinced them to spend the night in that room. They left the next morning, spoke to that clerk, and said, "You're a fine clerk. You're a fine man. In fact, you're too fine a clerk to be working in a hotel like this." And the man said something like this, "I'm one day going to build you a hotel that you can run and you can manage." Well, he shrugged that off. He didn't think anything at all about that until one day in the mail, this couple sent him a letter. And the man said, "I want you to come to New York." Gave him a plane ticket to get there. Said, "Here's where you're going to be put up. I'm going to show you something that I promised you a long time ago." They took him down to the corner of 5th Avenue and 34th Street. The elderly man pointed to a brand new constructed, magnificent building. And he said to that clerk, "This is the hotel that I promised you, and it's yours to manage as long as you want it." He said, "You must be joking." He said, "No, it isn't a joke. I told you I'd build you a hotel, and you could run it." And the man's name was William Waldorf Astor. And the young clerk was George Bolt, and the hotel was the original Waldorf Astoria. I want to tell you, God doesn't always pay off immediately, but it always pays to serve God. Every day, all the way. God's work, they said, is unfulfilling. God's will was unrewarding. Lazarus, you got anything to say about that? Well, I did lay by the garbage cans, and nobody really seemed to care, but I told everybody I could about Jesus. And I want to tell you, Lazarus say, it's well worth serving the Lord. Stephen's being stoned to death. And there Stephen died. And there was Paul, who was Saul at that time. And they stoned him to death. And Stephen ascends toward heaven. And Jesus gets up off the throne and stands up and welcomes him home. "Stephen, was it worth it serving God?" And Stephen said, "It was worth it every step of the way." God's will is rewarding. And thirdly and lastly tonight, they were saying God's word was unreliable. Look at what he said. Look at verse 14 again. "And that we have walked mournfully before the Lord of hosts." You know what they were saying? God did not fulfill his promise. God's going to fulfill every promise in his word. One day, every one of them, they had a hypocritical attitude. Mournfully has the idea of the people who the nomads, who lived in the tents, who were just temporary, had the idea of people in sorrow. It has the idea that they humbled themselves in sackcloth and in ashes, but God did not come through, that God didn't fulfill promises like 2 Chronicles 7:14. Well, you and I, as Christians in America, could look to heaven tonight and say, "God, where are you?" And God's saying, "If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I'll hear from heaven, and then I'll heal their land, and then I'll forgive their sin." I'll tell you what, if we ever do that, God will come through, and God will heal our land. Oh, they said, "We've done all of these things, but God's not blessed us." Maybe outwardly they had mourned, but inwardly they still were corrupt. Maybe outwardly there was a sign that they had gotten right with God, but inwardly their heart was still cold. Not only was it hypocritical, it was hateful. Look at verse number 15. "And now we call the proud happy. Yea, they that work wickedness are set up, and yea, they that tempt God are even delivered." You know what they were saying? They were saying instead of God blessing his people, he was blessing folks in their sin and rewarding their sin. Well, I'll tell you what, God does not reward sin, and one day payday is coming. R.G. Lee preached that famous sermon, Payday Someday, when Ahab and Jezebel got exactly what was coming. You know why God hadn't judged everything yet? Because He's a long-suffering, merciful God. And you and I ought to be glad. One day, He is. Well, I asked a question coming down the road a while ago. Why aren't all these people in church? Then a lot of the churches we went by knew why they weren't in church. They weren't having church. Hello? I said all of them ought to be going to Rock Springs. Amen. There's more traffic out there on the road tonight than there is on Friday. I mean, they're everywhere. I wonder if God's not in heaven saying, you busy going to and fro, doing all this stuff? I want to tell you, folks, Sunday's still the Lord's day. It's still God's day. Now, even God's children look at it as a different day and do anything and everything. But I'm telling you, it's the Lord's day, and it's a very special day. They said God's blessing those in their sin and rewarding them. They felt the proud, the stiff-necked, and the rebellious people against God were the ones that were happy. But one day, friend, those that truly know happiness are going to be found out. The Bible said they'll be weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth. They felt like the wicked had been set up for God and were blessed and honored of the Lord. They felt that those that had tempted God to judgment were being excused and were not being judged. And it was really an accusation that God blessed the ungodly and God did not bless the godly. And it's almost like they're looking toward heaven and saying, God, you lied to us. How foolish. And folks, listen, you and I can get to a place in this life when we do like the people in the book of Malachi. God, I've served you. God, I've done your will. And God, where has it gotten me? Just don't forget, God's not finished yet. And one day, over there on the other side, God's going to give out the true rewards. God's Word is reliable. It is true. And a faithful life will experience a faithful Lord even in the midst of their most difficult time. And a believer that's true to God's Word and God's work and God's will, one day God has a blessing waiting for them. Listen to what Joshua said, and I'm through. He said, and behold, this day I'm going the way of all the earth. And you know in all your hearts and in all your souls that not one thing hath failed of the good things which the Lord your God spake concerning you. All are to come to pass unto you, and not one thing hath failed thereof. God's Word is true, and God's Word is reliable. If we're not careful, in the days of Malachi, something was about to happen. Judgment was coming. 400 years. No word. 400 years, no prophet crying. 400 years, there was silence. Judgment. Something was about to happen. And you go over to the New Testament and something did happen. Jesus came just like He said. And can I tell you, we're living in a day when something is going to happen. It's going to be revival. It's going to be ruin or return. But if God's people don't get back to God, you and I may experience in the good old United States of America. Have you ever heard so much talk about the country going under? Hey, I'm not so much worried about it financially as I am about it spiritually. Spiritually is where we're going under. And if we're not careful, God may just let some wicked nation have the preeminence that America's had for over 230 years. I don't know about you. I don't want that. I want to see God bless America again. And if He does, He's going to start with you and me. And so if you're tempted tonight, say, God, where are you? I've served you. God, I've done what you wanted me to do. Where are your rewards? God, where are your promises that you made to me? Could I tell you? Hold on, child. Don't give up and don't give in. Right around the corner, the breakthrough that you need in your life just might be about to happen. Heads are bowed and eyes are closed. What are you saying about God? Number one, let me ask you tonight, have you ever said in your soul that you believe that He's the truth, the life, and the way? Have you done what some did in the second service today? Have you been willing to say, Lord, I know what your word says, I know what you did, and I need to open my heart, and I need to invite you to come in. Sir, ma'am, boys and girls, would you tonight just say, Jesus, save me. Come into my heart and wash me whiter than snow. Some of you here tonight, you've been saved, but never made it public, never walked an aisle. Never did what some did this morning. Walked an aisle and said, I've been saved. While one said, I got saved at death's door. One said, I got saved at the Good News Club. One said, I got saved in my home on Thursday night. Some came, got saved. Hey, listen, you can get saved anywhere, but everybody's got to get saved the same way. And tonight, right here in this building, you can give your heart and life to Jesus. Would you do it? You've been saved, need to make it public. Won't you do it tonight? God leading you to join this church by letter, by statement. Why don't you come tonight and do it? Need to get on this altar tonight and say, God, you know, I may not have said it, but in my heart, Lord, I've doubted. I've got discouraged because everything's not come through in my life like I've been praying. God, I've been tempted to give up and complain. God, tonight, I just want to tell you that I love you. And I may not understand everything, but God, I trust you. I trust your word. And God, I'm going to be faithful unto you.